I'd like to begin by reading in Hebrews chapter 10. We'll read 19 to 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of our faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We come to you in the Spirit. We come to you knowing that you love us, that you care for us. And we pray that in these unusual times, you would build up your people. You would help them to draw near to you, to love you, to hold fast their confession, and to consider how to help one another. Lord, we pray for all the churches that are meeting around the world, and especially the United States, who are trying to serve their people in these similar ways. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, this is March 2020, and in the United States, it's dated, but five states have shut down their states to everything but essential workers. Over 200 people have died, and here we are worshiping in this way. We're gathering in our homes, and it's a privilege for all ministers, all those who are trying to serve to serve you. So we look forward to doing this many more times, and it's our pleasure to help. So I'd like to look at Hebrews 19 through 25. We're going to look at three major points, and I think it'll be very instructive and helpful. Even as we get to the section that says that we should gather together, it's an interesting verse for us to look at. It wasn't intentional, but for us to look at these times. So I'd like to begin with this introductory. It begins with therefore, and so we have not been going through this book as a body, so I want to go over a few things that the author refers to when he says in verse 19, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. So this therefore is building on the entire teaching of the book of Hebrews, and to summarize it, he is saying that the sacrificial system, the priest, all that went before, that God himself initiated, was temporary and not permanent, was outward and not inward, and was ineffectual, not effective. And so you'll see that throughout this book. But he says that the gospel, on the other hand, is permanent, and it's not temporary. It's inward and spiritual and not just outward. And it's effective with a full forgiveness of sins and the ability to bring us into the presence of God and not limited like it was in the Old Testament. He uses the term brothers, probably referring to his Hebrew brothers, but probably Jewish believers, but we can't be dogmatic about that. So he uses the phrase, since we have confidence. Now, if you've ever been in front of a group of people, you're probably nervous. And if someone's important, you're even more nervous. So just imagine that he has uses the unusual word confidence to enter into God's presence. But that's what we have. We have this confidence to enter the most holy place. And why is that? He says it's by the blood of Jesus. So that means we have confidence to approach God, but never on our own merits, never because of anything that we have done, but only through the blood of Jesus. That is, on the basis of Christ's sacrifice, his sacrificial, bloody sacrifice. And we can never mention that too much, that we have confidence to enter God's presence through the blood of Jesus. He sacrificed his life in a bloody sacrifice so that we could come into the presence of God. Then he says in verse 20, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain that is his flesh. This word new is used once in the New Testament, and it means something like freshly slaughtered. So we're coming into God's presence by the freshly slaughtered new way, that is Christ's new way. And it's living. So think about that word for a minute. It's living. Now, this is something that's 2,000 years old. This is not new in one sense. It's not living in one sense. But in another sense, it is new. It is living. And Christ is living. He died, but he rose bodily from the grave. And he is living, and he brings new life into every person that knows Christ. So this is a living faith. Now, he says, in an interesting way of putting it, in verse 20, he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. So the curtain represents an obstacle to coming to God. And no one could go in there except the high priest once a year. So you couldn't just walk in if you wanted to. So I believe what the author is saying, that way is open to us. That curtain is rent asunder. It's torn down, and it's torn down through either the blood of Jesus or through his flesh. But he's making the same point that we come to God through Jesus Christ. One of the authors says that by virtue of the sacrifice of Christ, wherein his flesh was torn and rent, we have a full entrance into the holy place. And I think John Owen is right in that. And then he says in 21, since we have a great priest over the house of God, we have someone who can usher us into God's presence, and that is Jesus Christ. No other priest could ever do this. No other high priest, no priest in the Old Testament, no priest in any religion could do what Christ has. He has brought us into God's presence. And we are the house of God, according to Hebrews 3:16. Going back to verse 21 in Hebrews 10, we have a great priest over the house of God. And 3:6 in Hebrews says, we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence. So this priest is bringing us into God's presence. Now I'd like to look at three ways the author of Hebrews says we should respond. And it's each let us. So the first one is in verse 22. Let us draw near. In verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. This is an amazing verse that the author of Hebrews is saying, because of what Christ has done, we're to draw near to God. We're to draw close to him. Those of you who are married, the greatest privilege of being married to someone you love is you can be close to that person. You can be with that person. And so you may be interested in theology. You may be interested in other church functions. You could be interested in all kinds of things. But if you don't draw near to Christ, you've missed it all. And this is the greatest privilege we have, to draw near. And I was thinking this week, is thinking about this passage. I want to encourage you to use your time to draw near to Christ. you have probably more time than you had. So use that to draw near to Christ. What greater pleasure in the world can we have than to know God? So how do we draw near? Well, he gives us these four aspects. I think they're really components of one thing, but he says we draw near with a true heart, we draw near with full assurance of faith, and we have our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. This idea of a true heart is what the prophets said, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, that God will give us a new heart. It's what Ephesians 6:5 talks about, having this sincere heart. So we ought to be sincere when we come to Christ. We ought to be who we are. So when we come to God through Christ, I come as I am to God who He is. I come sincerely to Christ. And full assurance of faith. Now I believe this corresponds to how we said that we come to God through the curtain. That is, we come to Him through His flesh. So we can't have full assurance if it's based on my works or your works. It has to be based on Christ, His perfect life, His perfect sacrifice, and His powerful resurrection. So it has to be, as Ezekiel says, the blood, Exodus talks about the blood of Christ. So how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer Himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And then this passage in Exodus where he talks about having our hearts sprinkled clean. This is Exodus 29:4 and verse 27. You shall bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance of the tent of meeting and wash them with water. Then you shall take part of the blood that is on the altar and on the anointing oil and sprinkle it on Aaron and his garments and on his sons and his sons' garments with him. He and his garments shall be holy, and his sons' garments with them. So we have this idea of sprinkling and cleaning with water. In Ezekiel 36, our bodies are washed with pure water, according to Ezekiel 36:25. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your heart of flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. You see those true hearts sprinkling all mixed together. We see the same in Titus 3 verse 5. He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Or in Ephesians 5:26, He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ. So we ought to draw near at this time. This is a great time to draw near to Christ. Use your time well. Don't waste this crisis. Don't waste this time when you have a time to draw near to Him. Use the time in the morning. Use the time in the evening. Use the time during the day to keep drawing near to Christ. And finally, secondly, we draw near and then we hold fast. And you'll see this in verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. We are not only to hold fast to our confession of faith, but here it's called the confession of hope. I would have expected a confession of faith, but as we read in verse 3, verse 6, we're to be holding fast to our confidence. In verse 3, chapter 3, verse 14 in Hebrews, our original confidence. We're holding that firm to the end. And then in 4:14, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. We have so much hope. We have hope in what Christ has done. And more powerfully, Christ is holding us. He is holding us, but we are to hold on to Him. We have a duty. We have a duty to hold on to Christ. So if you're a grandparent, a child, retiree, this is a time to hold fast to that confession. The world does not have this hope. Christians are the only one who have this hope. And you are to hold fast to that as God is faithful. So let's look at where to draw near, where to hold fast, and then let us consider. That's verses 24 through 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This verb, consider, is in the subjunctive mood, so it has this air of contingency. And it's interesting, as I was thinking about this over the week and reading this and thinking what I would say, we're not meeting together. We're actually recording this, and there's no one in the sanctuary but three people listening to me. And so this is what this says. Let us consider, let us think, let us plan how to stir up one another to love and good works. Then it says, not neglecting to meet together. So normally, the way you achieve the first, that is stirring up one another to love and good works, is by gathering together. And we would have hundreds of people in this sanctuary looking at me and me looking at them. But that's not how it is right now. You're gathering at home. You're in small groups. But you're thinking of each other. You're texting. You're calling. You're doing whatever you can to send cards, emails. And it's amazing at this time that we have all these possibilities to record in terms of video and audio, to send messages in all different forms, all different ways. And so we are doing this. We're praying for each other. We're thinking of all these different people that we care about. And we care about you. We love you. We think about you all the time. And I know that's what's happening within our church. So, yes, we're postponing, suspending our meeting together. But Christians all over the world have always met in these unique places. If you go to Rome, you can go to the catacombs where they first met. That was a safe place to be, but not the most pleasant. You can go to home churches all over the world. They're still meeting in home churches. There are some churches that meet in a public place, but they don't tell others about it. I've had the privilege of meeting in home churches in China. I've met at a church in Afghanistan, but there was nothing on the outside that let them let others know they were meeting, and they didn't say they were going to meet at the same place next week until they knew, so they could move around to different places. This is the common experience of Christians around the world. We are just beginning this. So we are thinking how to encourage one another. Now, if you look at this next section, we're not going to look at this, but it talks about those who have left Christ. And this is quite a warning for us. I notice the difference between our section. It says the blood of Christ takes us into God's presence. And this next section, they're actually trampling on the blood of Christ. They're turning away. They were part of this group and they're turning away. And I want to warn you. I want to warn you that some within our church and churches all over, this will be it for them. They will turn away. And they've always, people that don't know Christ have always turned away. So this is the time not only for you to hold fast, but to think of others. You may be a teenager and you're thinking of somebody that you know. Reach out to them. This is the time to reach out and to warn them, because we are in a spiritual battle. In 10 years, some of you will no longer be in this church and you will no longer be worshiping. This happens year in and year out. People join our church, leave. People can be in office, in an ordained office, and leave. And what a tragedy for them. But for those of you who know Christ, draw near to Him. Draw near. Tell others around you to draw near. Take time. You can do all kinds of things right now. You can't do certain things, but no one is saying to you, you can't know God better. You can't spend more time in prayer. You can't spend more time reading the Scripture. This is your time. Don't waste your time. Your time is God's time. And God wants you to know Him better, to grow closer to Him. You can come out of this, maybe not financially better, but you can come out of this spiritually better. Draw near to God. This verse should just keep going strong in your mind to draw near to God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this day. This is a great day to be worshiping You. Lord, we are so grateful for all that You do, Your love to us, Your kindness to us. We thank You for this word, what it means to us, how we can draw close to You through Christ. Oh, Lord, fill our hearts and minds with the Holy Spirit. We pray this now in Christ's name. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each of you, both now and forever. Amen.